Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Yeah. Caught you off guard. Here we go. That's the way. Gentlemen, here at Neighbors of Hope, we've continued our study on our journey toward holiness, trying to understand the biblical concept of that. Last week, we say we've been taking this hot air balloon ride over the Bible, hovering up to get larger views, coming down into a point of history to get a closer view. And as of late, we had a close view at the life of Jesus and the implications of holiness there. Then we hovered up a little bit and took a broader look at the book of Acts and the birth of the church and how the imitation of Christ is lived out in the church. And so we saw Acts chapter 2 is really an indication of the Jubilee economics that was practiced by Jesus being practiced by the church, understanding holiness as God's provision. And then we looked at chapter 10, the story of Cornelius and Peter, where Peter recognizes that, you know, their enemy, right? Greco-Romans, here we have Cornelius, a Roman, is now being baptized. You know, the Holy Spirit descends upon him, so there's the inclusion of what was then believed an enemy. So we have enemy love as a form of protection. Today, as we kind of wrap up that section and we start getting into some of the epistles, I'd like to have us look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And I'd like to have somebody cross-reference that with Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. So, if I could have someone read those for us, and we'll begin this this study.
Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Okay, thank you. Someone want to read those couple of scriptures from 1 Peter?
Yeah. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy.
And be holy, for I am holy, is kind of where we started this study. Right? So somehow or another, we have to recognize that we're called to be holy. You know, and we'll see elsewhere in Scripture that we've looked at previously that, you know, we're called to be imitators of God. We're supposed to be Christ-like. God is holy. Jesus, the Son of God, is holy. We're supposed to be like that. All right? So we're called to be holy. That's why holiness is an important topic for us. So, hearing those two Scriptures, commonalities, did you hear anything in common?
Not to conform. Okay. I like how Romans 12 makes a contrast between conforming and transforming. So it says, do not conform, transformed.
Yeah.
They both kind of talk about, Romans 12 is more about, First Peter does is like, kind of not fitting in with the culture, fitting in or going back to, like, now you can't be there. Now you know you can't go back, you know, better than this crowd out here, what they're doing. You
know,
you can't. Once you have transformed, don't slip back into the old.
Okay, and so let's. All right, anybody else have any initial comments? I'm sorry.
I do.
Okay.
In 1 Peter, the scriptures I read, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy." It's something that, to me, it's like an insurmountable task that I'm struggling with. Like, what does it mean to be holy? I'm still learning and trying to understand that. But I did read something one time somewhere, and I can't quote it, so it's... it's a, that we're supposed to be, as called as followers of Christ, we're supposed to be ordained in everything we do. So if you're a plumber, now you're an ordained plumber. You take every action you do and every responsibility you're given, and you act like God is directly telling you to do that. So if you go to start a car, you do it as an ordained car starter. It makes it simpler to me. So, and literally what I mean by that is, in the midst of that is when things happen. So something as simple as going to the fridge in the middle of the night, if something happens, you don't freak out about it. You know, you just keep focused and keep doing the right thing. I know that's a silly analogy, but it just is. To be holy is to, we're ordained, we're saints. We're called to be saints.
Okay, yeah, I like the calling. And I think that's precisely one of the reasons Paul uses language like transform, right? Peter will say, you know, the evil, the patterns of the world. For Peter and Paul, for the early church, and it should be for us, because there's so many misconceptions about what to be holy or holiness is. And sometimes we think, you know, that's all about pietism. You know, we got to be stiff-necked and rigid and purity and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, that has its place, but that's not holy, right? Well, Peter and Paul understood, is like, look, God is holy, and God called people to be holy. And through Jesus, we are holy when we are transformed into His image. Well, how you doing with that, right? That's really the question on the table, right? When we think about transformation, are we being transformed into Christ's image?
With transformation, it's not like a one and done thing. You know, it's not like a day you can count down to. It's a daily choice. It's kind of a war between, you know, from transformation and conformity. You got to make that choice every single day. And the way it tells you is like, be transformed, do not conform. And if they're telling you to do this, God's not going to do it for you. He's going to be with you as you make that choice. And you got to fight this war every day.
Yep. Which I'm presuming you'll agree is difficult. That's hard. Yeah,
absolutely. Right.
But why would you do that then? What's the point of becoming like Jesus?
Yeah, what do I get?
So, you know, it's probably legitimate. Yeah, what do I get? Well, let me play that out there a little bit, because I think some people respond, well, I get heaven. I get a reward. And that's why, you know, this transformation has something to do with not conforming to the current pattern. And why? Because it's really stating that the current pattern is not in alignment with God's intention for God's creation. There may be a reward, right? But that shouldn't be our motivation. Our motivation should be we should become transformed and become holy. One, because that's what it says in the Old Testament. I'm a holy God. You're called to be a holy people. So really, why should we do it? So that we can become genuine humans. We can become what God intended us to be. And then we can sit back. If we get rewarded for that with eternal life or, you know, all those types of things, that's fine. But do I really want to die never becoming what I was created to be?
I think a lot of people, we focus on these words of transformation. I mean, those words are actually words, but like Paul, Peter, and Jesus, the like Acts is kind of like the launch pad for it. It's the action of it. You know, like he's talking about, you rarely recognize what God wants from you, quickly respond to it. You're not talking about sit around, put your feet up, and let's just soak all these words in and know about it. He's saying, go, be about it. That's what you're supposed to be. Holy, you know, like a lot of, that's why I'm always stuck in Romans with a lot of Paul stuff, because it's about get up and move and do it. Let's get busy. What are you waiting for? Be ready. Be alert. You know, let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. Let's walk it out. You know.
And this is why I think if I think you're right. transformation. Think of like the, because the Greek word that Paul uses is morphe. So you take a caterpillar, morphs into a butterfly. And that process doesn't necessarily happen instantaneous. All right? But do we really want to be transformed, morphed into the image of Christ? If we were really looking like Jesus, sinners would flock to us. And most of us have a concept of holiness that is so rigid and grounded in Neo-Puritanism, we don't want to be around the sinner. But which may be a motivation not to become holy or to become like Jesus. Because all those bad people are going to flock to me. Because that's what they did to him.
So just make me good, keep them away.
Exactly. He came to call the sick, the ones that needed him the most. You know, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So a lot of times, even myself, I try to think part of that transformation is sometimes people really, ruffle my feathers. And the thought comes in my head, and I've said it, and I hear other people say it all the time, is, well, if before I was Christian, or if I wasn't Christian, and it draws my mind to thinking when Jesus said, well, you may not murder, but you sure do, or you may not commit adultery, but you sure do lust, you may not murder, but you sure do hate. So to acknowledge the fact that before I was Christian, this is what I would have done, it's the same act. It really is, so why are you talking about it? You know, the real transformation is, yeah, so you might get a thought. I don't really think you can stop the chemical makeup of your brain. You might be able to change it through transformation, or it might be able to be transformed. But as long as you're talking about what you would have done before you're a Christian, you're not too focused on what you're doing as a Christian.
You're still in the cocoon.
Yeah. Still in the cocoon. I love some of the analogies we're going to put there. Other thoughts? Comments or questions?
So I think the hardest part for me is be obedient as children. When I was a kid, all I want to do was grow up. Now, I don't want to grow up. And I don't want to be a kid, though. I don't want to be a kid. It's one of those things that, like, I feel like it's a... In my mind, this is the thing I struggle with. It's like, so I think to have a backbone, have a little integrity, some dignity would be what it means to be a strong Christian, man or woman. And when we think of kids, we think of somebody that's just going to say, yes, sir. And I don't think that's the same kind of obedience.
Part of the ignorance that Peter's talking about, and remember, Peter and Paul are writing this post both of theirs encounter of God calling Gentiles. God, because remember, the Jewish understanding is that we have the holy nation, we have all the other nations. Jesus shows up on the scene and we have the expansion of what the holy nation looks like. That includes other nations. Right? It's now the holy nation is an inclusive community, not an exclusive community. Paul has had that experience. He's already been to Jerusalem. He's had the blessing to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter, we saw earlier this week with Cornelius, sees God working to include the enemy as part of the holy. All right. So when they speak about the ignorance or they speak about the old ways, part of that is stop thinking that you're exclusive. But be transformed. Yeah, it is hard. It is hard. We I think you're absolutely right.
We start being exclusive by saying other people are being exclusive.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous.
And we perpetuate, you know, us and them. Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate you sharing with our listening audience this morning your journey toward holiness. And until we meet next week, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. and please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.